The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And today, the Young Bucks are taking over the world. And today's TIJ, the Bucks are back telling more great stories, including their inspired WWE invasion in Ontario, California, the one that landed them with a cease and desist for using the Clicks Too Sweet hand gesture, and most likely the reason that Jimmy Jacobs lost his job at WWE. We've talked with Jimmy about that. You hear about the Scrub Room, their Hot Topic t-shirts, and the merchandising empire that they run themselves out of their garage. They're also talking about their friendship with Okada, how that got them into New Japan, the Bullet Club past and present future, why they still do shows for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in Los Angeles, and of course we'll hit on the WWE and whether they have any interest in signing there if the opportunity comes up. Here we go. Matt, Nick, the Young Bucks return to Talk is Jericho right here, right now. I'm here with the returning Young Bucks to Talk is Jericho. Yeah. And we're here at the Tokyo Dome Hotel. And we're talking about dome shows.
Yes.
How, like, when you do a big show in a stadium, what's it like?
It's just, like, we were just saying this. Like, sometimes, like, I go out there and we're resting. I'm like, man, Nick, are we not even over? It's so quiet.
And no one's paying
Is nobody making any noise? Like, it's just, it's really awkward, kind of. Like,
because the sound goes up.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's so massive, you know, and there's so many people around.
Right.
We're like, we'll hit a super kick, and it's like a 2-second delay. It's like,
yeah.
Whoa. I'm like, where? What?
Like, I was saying, the slap noise.
The slap noise. How does that? Where's that come from?
You don't hear it for a bit. I was telling you guys, I had a match at WrestleMania with Edge, and I remember like thinking during the show, like, there's no one's paying attention. Like, this match must be the shits. And you watch it back, it's
right.
Fine.
Yes.
But it's hard to do when you're actually in the match.
Mm-hmm. We're just so used to, especially Nick and I, because like we do more of the independent shows, and it's such an intimate atmosphere. What we're typically every weekend, you know, it's 1,000 people.
That's what you do every week, right?
Yeah. So it's like,
we're usually featured as the big names.
Right.
So usually they're really.
We never open shows anymore. Yeah. We're the featured act. Fun when we come to Japan, we're like opening match, and we're actually bad guys.
But you know what? It's good though because it humbles us.
Yes.
Like, okay, we're still here at this level over here. So.
And we can act like actual heels because like our character's sort of in the States. We're sort of heels, I guess, but people cheer for everything.
Yeah, everyone
so,
loves you.
Right.
Guys,
but here it doesn't work that way. Like we can actually have that different psychology. So it's fun. It's like,
How are you heels?
We're complete heels here. Like, where we'll actually put a heat on a guy and like get boos and like
we'll cheat more too.
Who's gonna boo you guys?
They did a few years ago. Now it's gotten kind of popular, so now they're kind of sort of in on it too.
Yeah, because you guys are like the hottest act,
right?
That's not WWE.
Like, yes,
anywhere in the world. I mean, you guys and Kenny, right?
Yeah, I would say the last couple of years, it's definitely felt that way.
Since we talked, maybe was it 2 years ago?
I think so. Yeah.
Until now, it's gone.
It's crazy. It's gotten big.
You know, that's one thing I love though about the business now is that you can go outside of that. You know, you can make big money and be a big star and not be WWE.
Right.
You guys prove it. Kenny, Cody.
Yeah.
Like Cody took the chance to leave WWE.
Yeah. What a gamble, man.
He's massive now.
Huge, right?
Huge. Yeah.
So for you guys though, like you guys are like a very special case in that, like we said, 2 years ago, 2 years before that, you're just independent guys. You worked like the TNA for a while, whatever it was.
That doesn't even count anymore.
I know, right?
Like, I don't think people even remember that.
I know, and it's also like Okada was.
Yeah, that's right.
We were best friends with him.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We do. That's the reason why we got a job here.
Yeah.
Is because we were. Really? Yeah, we became friends with Okada.
We looked out for him, actually. There's a quick story we could tell.
Yeah, go ahead,
please.
They wanted him to gig for just something so stupid.
This is when he was Okada and he was Samoa Joe's like manager.
His name was Okada?
Yeah.
Like Okada wasn't Japanese.
Yeah. Right.
And it just didn't make any sense. Yeah. And he was scared to death. Mm. And he came up to us and Alex Shelley, who was like
another one of his buddies,
and the three of us were like, no,
like, why do you? Because he was terrified.
Yeah,
he's like, I've never done it.
We're like, it's not even needed.
It's not even needed for the segment. It was just weird.
So we had to talk to the guys, and we're like, hey, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't feel right. He's nervous about it. He doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
We went to bat for him, and we got him out of it. And he was like, thank you so much. Yeah. I did not feel comfortable
doing
that.
I think
that.
He remembered that.
Yeah. And we just bonded with him. We hung out with him every week.
Dinner every night.
Like, none of it. We were in the locker room. They never used any of us. So we were just kind of the underneath job guys.
This is that, right?
Yeah.
He ribs me still to this day every time I see him.
Yeah, Nick and him have a funny bond.
He puts my gear on.
Every show.
Everything. My shoes, my knee pads, my tights.
No matter. Nick will hide his bag in a corner. Oh, he'll find it. Yeah. Like, right this on. Has been going on for years.
To this day. He'll do it tomorrow.
He'll do it at the Tokyo Dome tomorrow.
But see, that's one of the cool things. Like if you go back for me, the first time I met Jado and Gato, and now obviously they are, most specifically Gato, but Jado as well, are our bosses here in New Japan. I met them in 1993 in Mexico, and they didn't have any money. So I took them to a restaurant and bought them lunch. Wow. I remember they both got hot dogs.
Right.
So I bought them a hot dog in 93, and here we are in 2018.
They remembered that. That's so wild, man.
You just never know, right?
Yeah. You never know.
But crazy. That's part of the business. Like, we're all, you take care of the guys that you like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just be nice to your friends. Like, it's what a concept.
It's a full circle that you're
it is.
Right. Yeah.
And then what I found in wrestling, it's like, if you just stick around, man, like, you have to be good, but I'm saying just have a job. Yeah. Like, if you just stick around, you'll probably get a job somewhere. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Just don't quit.
Exactly, right? It's the old thing. Like, how do you stay together in a marriage for 30 years? Don't get divorced.
Right, just don't get divorced.
How do you make it wrestling? Just stick around.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, there's something to that, though, just being there, like not being absent, just not quitting. Because, like, sometimes it sucks. It's like, and if you take yourself out, then you're out.
Right,
like,
right.
But if you stick around when it's kind of dark and it sucks, like, hey, you don't know what it's going to be like tomorrow, though, you know?
So, what was the darkest part of your guys' career? Because now you're at the top of the
end of our run in TNA.
Okay.
I would say the end of that, and then the beginning of our second run in ROH.
Which was a failed run. Yeah.
Yeah, because it failed, and they actually.
Why did it fail?
They allowed our contract to end.
Cornette was in charge of that point.
And they didn't even, like, want to negotiate anything else. So we were like, oh, wow.
They just left us at home and our contracts expired.
Yeah.
But why wasn't it working? I mean, you guys are the same.
The reason we were given at the time was our West Coast flight was too expensive every weekend. Mm. Which cracks me up now because now we're the featured act on the show. So it's kind of fun. It's like, well, remember back in 2011 when you guys screwed us and now look, you know? Like,
right.
But that was probably rock bottom that around that sure, point. Yeah. 2010 and 11 was a bad couple years for us.
It's so crazy to think.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It's not like you guys changed your entire style now.
No, not drastically. I think we changed our attitudes, though. Like,
in
the
way?
The way we just thought about the business. Like, we were like, yes, man. We were like, what can we do for you? And whatever you need, I'll do it. Sir, type of thing, and we never questioned anything, but like at that point,
and you know, and we were 10 years in at that point too. We were just so shy,
yes,
and I felt like it opened us up a lot more,
yeah,
and like, you know what, screw this, let's do things on our own.
Interesting.
Yeah,
well, I was ready to quit, I think, because I was having a kid.
He was, yeah, right. I had to actually convince him,
and I was broke, and it wasn't because, like, oh, I fell out of love with wrestling. I still loved wrestling. It was, I'm having a child, I need money.
Right.
I always told Matt this. I was like, look, I think there's a reason why we're in this business, and I don't think we would be in it for 10 years without doing something important. Although there's a reason for all of this, so let's just,
and I think that's what we finally together were like, well, let's make a change then, and let's just think of this differently and do it the fun way, the way we like.
You know, it's interesting. You guys know the band Steel Panther?
Mm-hmm.
So super popular band. Yep. They play arenas in Europe. They're, you know, huge band. They're all lifelong rock guys. And
sure.
I remember I saw the singer 25 years ago in a Van Halen cover band. They kept trying to be in bands. It never worked. And they finally went, you know what? We're done.
Yep.
So let's form this fun band and just have a good time. And we don't care about the business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to make it. And next thing you know,
that's when you make
it. Yeah. And that's the same thing with you guys.
It's the same thing. It's like, it's almost like when you don't throw the caution to the wind anymore. It's like, you know what? Let's just have fun now and stop caring so much about everything.
Right.
Let's stop micromanaging every move we're going to do and everything we're going to say. Let's just be ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that started like a movement for us. Mm-hmm. And then Okada contacted us and he was like, hey, Tiger Tori wants to call you. And we're like, oh, great. We know what this is going to be.
Yeah.
Right, and it led to this.
So you had never come to Japan before?
No, we did. We used to tour for Dragon Gate, it's called.
Different company.
About 10 years ago.
Of course.
Which is actually was great for our career,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was our first break.
And we developed our style that we do now then. Like, that was, like, what, 2008 to 10.
Mold us.
Yeah, that's, like, our hybrid, whatever style you see
Lucha,
that we do.
Japanese,
Lucha, Japanese style,
yeah.
American, you know.
Yeah,
it's all from that. Like, that's where we really, like, gained a lot of confidence, I think, with our style.
It comes back to New Japan, calls you guys, and then you start working for, like, the big leagues.
Right away, he said, he's like, Tiger Tori wants to talk to you guys. I talked to him about bringing, you know, you guys in. We're like, that'd be awesome. So we needed it. And immediately we were here, and immediately we were in Bullet Club. And it was like perfect because what we were doing at the time was kind of like
exactly
what they were doing. Yeah. So I was like, man, this
is
a perfect fit.
We were throwing up the Too Sweet before that. So we were like, oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Now we could do it even more.
Which version of the Bullet Club was that?
It was the first one.
The very beginning.
With, so it was, Finn Balor?
Yeah.
So it was probably like 4 to 6 months. And then we joined the original.
Right. I think 4 months.
It was pretty close.
So we're still considered like OGs because they had just been, it just started.
We were the first add-ons.
Like we joined the club with the first shirt. The shirt you don't even know about. Like the shirt that sucked.
The one that wasn't.
We wore that shirt.
You know. So who was the original? It was Finn?
Yep.
Gallows, it was Finn.
Addison, you guys?
Gallows wasn't even there yet. We were there before Gallows.
Okay.
Tamatanga, Fale,
Machine Gun,
and Ferg.
Yeah, they're the guys.
Carl Anderson.
I almost said Chad.
Chado.
Yeah. Chado.
And those guys, I'll tell you what, my last kind of little run in the WWE for the last 6 months was Chado and Gallows.
Oh, yeah.
What a great couple of guys.
Dude, cool, they're the best. It's funny we're sitting here right now because we used to do Talking Chop. And where Carl Anderson would be sitting.
Gallows would be drinking.
Yeah, Gallows would be drinking.
That's so funny, the Talking Chop, because he was like, you know, when they first came in, I had them on the show. And they're saying, we got this horrible, it's the worst podcast ever. Well, tell me about it. We just sit around and drink. Well, let's do a Talking Shop for Talking Jericho. Yeah. Dude, we had the last Talking Shop we did in Germany was almost unintelligible. You could not. It's so bad.
I remember those.
You guys
dudes.
Remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's just because you guys are on the road for 3-4 weeks in Japan.
Right.
So
many times. Crazy. So many times we would tape like 30 minutes and we'd be like, we can't use any of that. So we just wouldn't use it. There's like so many lost episodes that I'm sure that.
Probably so entertaining.
Yeah, like we just couldn't use. Or like Nick and I would open our mouths too much and say, I'm like, can you just not use that whole episode?
Yeah, we'll catch a lot of heat. You know, Rocky Romero probably has it.
Rocky
has to have him.
Right? Now everybody's going to tell Rocky to release
it. Now, he'd get way too much trouble.
Well, it's funny because as soon as they had got signed, they like went through the whole library and just deleted everything.
It's funny. I had Rocky on the show, and he was talking about how he's a little bit jealous about Talking Shop, you know, without him.
Oh yeah,
right.
And he wrote a diss track because he raps, right?
Yes.
So I said, "Well, send it to me." So he sends it to me, and the title of it is "Rocky Diss Track." That's what you called it. Can't think of a better name. That's it.
We recently had him do something for us because we do the show Being the Elite. It's like a sketch comedy show, basically.
Right.
It used to be mixed with reality, right?
Showing us our travels.
So the other day,
you guys hanging out
pretty
on
much.
The,
yes.
On the road. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. So the other day, we were doing a UK tour, and like before the show starts, we're doing VIP like autographs and photo ops with the fans. So someone had missed their photo op, and for whatever reason, the promoter was like, invited the fan backstage to take a photo with us.
While we're talking with the guys, we're about to wrestle.
So he's like, can I get my photo? So he happens to be, what's the politically correct one? A little person.
Right.
He looks like Hornswoggle. But he really likes the idea that he looks like Hornswoggle because he's wearing like a green shirt.
He was dressed up as the part.
Like he's working the gimmick.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, can I get a photo? And me and Nick are like, yeah, sure. And then Marty Scurll, our other, one of our buddies from Being the Elite, he's there. Cody's with us. We're like, okay, we're just taking the photo. And you could just see all of us, like, we're like trying to think of a bit. Someone think of a bit. Hurry. Finally, the guy's leaving, and Marty's like, Matt, quick, come up with something. I'm like, can you give me a low blow? And he's like, yeah. Like, we just assumed he can work.
It got worse.
All little people can work, right? Isn't
Cody was pitching, like, we do super kick spots where he catches
the foot.
I'm like, this guy does not have work, man.
So we do a bit with him, and basically the punchline is like it's this thing called FTRR. Do you get it? And FTRR actually means nothing. But the idea, and I'm giving that away now, people are gonna be very upset. Yeah, kayfabe,
right? Sorry, yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
So we go, you get it. Everybody in this room gets it, right? And everyone's like, yeah. And I go, except for that guy, Hornswoggle over there. And he reacts to it and goes, I'm not Hornswoggle. And he gives me a low blow. And I swear to God, I've never been hit so hard in my life. Like it dropped me to my knees. I was
laying for 5 minutes.
I couldn't get up. I went to the bathroom afraid like maybe there'd be bruising, something. Dude,
out.
It was
But the
rotten.
Way he delivered his line. Yeah. I'm not Hornswoggle.
Just really nonchalant. And
then, so
the entire day, the next day, we were traveling to Fukuoka, and everyone's just like, we turn it into a rap. I'm not Hornswoggle. I'm not Hornswoggle. And then we're like putting in other bits into it, and like we're like, we just created a song.
And then we thought, hey, Rocky might be able to do a little.
Yes, so we're like, exactly. Hey, Rocky, can you do this for us? Can you make like a rap song? And he had it to like it went an hour and a half.
He did it in an hour.
So we put up this track. It's on iTunes. It's called great. I'm Not Hornswoggle.
Oh, that's great. It's on iTunes?
Yeah.
It's on, you got to send it to.
Yeah.
We'll play it right now. That's a great song.
It's hilarious. It won't get out of your head.
See, that's the funny thing, though. Like when you're on the road over here, I was, I don't know how I even explain it. Like being over here for 3 weeks, or do you guys do 3 week tours basically?
Oh, yeah. Like for four not weeks. Anymore. Okay. But we would come here
straight. We did it.
Yeah. We come here for 2-3 weeks.
And the guys that you're on the bus with are your guys.
Yes.
Like that, like you're closer to them than you are your family in a lot of ways, especially the guys you get along with.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that how Being the Elite started?
Yes.
Pretty much. You know, it was sad to see Chad and Gallows and AJ leave, because we're like, that's Uncle our family. Al. They're Uncle gone.
Al.
Yeah.
Malibu Al.
Yeah, it was weird. It's like, oh my God.
And wrestling's so weird. Like, you kind of just stop talking to them.
Right.
Like, they were my best friends. I'm like, and it's not like we're not friends anymore. It's just.
We text like once a month.
But it's not what it used to be.
If they walked in the room right now, it'd be like nothing had ever changed.
They would come into this interview and we would, you know.
Yeah. And it's like being a war buddies type
thing.
You know, you've been to war with these guys.
Right.
How did you feel about that? Because it was the big kind of, I don't know if it's a raid or whatever. It was Gallows, Anderson, AJ, and Nakamura.
It kind of felt like a raid.
Yeah.
Because they didn't smarten us up until the day before the Dome, which was about 2 years ago.
We found out with everybody else.
Last show of the Dome?
Yeah. So we were kind of like blindsided, actually. We knew they were leaving, but we didn't know where they were going.
And we had just signed a contract with ROH in November because AJ pulled us aside and he's like, hey, you guys, tell me your contract. You don't have any contracts right now, please. And we were like, we just signed. And he's like, ah, because he wanted to bring us over too.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if that would have happened, but that was his idea, you know? Yeah. And we were like, nah, man, we just signed for 2 years or whatever it was. Was it a year, maybe?
It was about 2 years.
Was it 2 years? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you guys are family guys. You both have a couple kids. And right now, under the deal that you're making, you call your own shots, make your own schedule. So the WWE schedule, very tough. It's a grind. I know you guys know that. And I want to talk about your decision to stay independent some more, creating this whole empire of the Young Bucks. But first, I know a lot of the boys stay healthy for that tough WWE schedule using DDP Yoga. Now, Diamond Dallas Page's DDP Yoga program, helping so many people, including me, it can help you too. And Dallas is so sure of that he's given you a chance to try the entire DDP Yoga program for free for 7 days. All you got to do is download the DDP Yoga app now and try it for free for 7 days. The DDP Yoga app is available for iOS and Android. And like I said, I got the DDPY app on my phone. And in addition to all the DDP Yoga workouts, the app tracks your weight, inches lost, even takes pictures so that you can see your flexibility, physiology, and core strength changing from month to month. You can try all of that with your free 7-day trial. The DDPY app has a Bluetooth heart monitor even to track the calories you burn. Over 100 workouts, including live workouts every week from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. Again, all part of the free 7-day trial. And listen, the app has nutrition tips and recipes to help you eat healthier as well. So download the DDP Yoga app now. Start your free 7-day trial. And then after you get hooked on DDP Yoga, get 20% off an annual membership at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life. Own your life. Get your free 7-day trial and 20% off an annual membership at ddpyoga.com/Jericho.
The history of rock and roll is littered with the unexplainable.
Two demons had told him to kill John Lennon.
The truth told. The Rock and Roll Twilight Zone with Richard Serrett. Listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
The thing is that then you guys have the, like I said, you're the pioneers and kind of you make your own schedule. You make your own. You guys are both family guys.
Yep.
Both have kids.
Yep.
So the WWE schedule is very tough.
Very
I saw
intense.
AJ actually on the plane coming here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from Tampa to Atlanta. And I go, how are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm busy. You know, maybe too busy, but you know, you can't turn down the success and what he's doing.
Yeah, he's their guy right now, man.
But it's a grind, man.
Yes.
It really is. So you guys are kind of, you can call your own shots. It's
right.
a pretty enviable position to be in.
We're in a great position.
We're very happy.
I don't think it would be even intelligent for us to, if like,
if it was talking today, like negotiating, if we left right now, it'd be kind of dumb of us because they couldn't pay us what we're making right now. Right? Not on the schedule we're on, too. There's no way.
They could, but I don't think they would want to.
Yeah, of course they could. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't think they would want
Calm down there, fucking you. But that's the thing. But then you're on your 4 days a week.
Yes.
5 days a week, and it's every week, and you go, and they might send you to NXT at first. Yeah,
right.
Kind of a
and you know, right now, man, our schedule was nuts last month, but this month we do the Dome show. We do a show the day after. We're home for 12 days.
Right. That's and that's our own doing. We got offers, but we're like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, let's take it easy.
You know what? Let's take it easy the first month of the year.
And we're running such a merch empire at home now. It's like, it's not like we're just off for 12 days, though. It's like, you know what I mean?
So how do you mean you're running a merch empire from home?
I literally run it from my house with my wife.
Like
she does pretty much everything, so I got to give her credit. But
YoungBucksMerch.com is what they run.
Right. Like, we run it out of our house.
You have to go check out ProWrestlingTees.com.
Exactly.
Young Bucks. And go to Hot Topic as well.
Like Dana, my wife, literally folds every single t-shirt and puts it in envelopes and sends them. You know,
so it's old school.
Old school.
Boxes.
I'm talking hundreds. Like, my entire living room is filled in with boxes of inventory.
Yeah, really? We just had to do taxes for that company. We call it Killing the Business, Inc.
Yeah.
Incorporated.
Yeah.
And we were blown away to find out how much we did for the year.
Like, we did more on just Young Bucks merch than we've ever made in wrestling, like, just last year. Like,
it was crazy.
Just on my. I'm not even talking about Pro Wrestling Tees. That's a whole different thing. Or Hot Topic. Crazy.
Let's talk about the Hot Topic.
That
was a big deal. Like,
huge.
I have a Hot Topic shirt now.
Yeah, now you're beating us.
Well,
that's a headline online right now. I just saw on Twitter.
I just got another update, and you guys aren't even close.
Oh, no.
So I got my month, and I said to you, like, dude, you've had a year, so give some of us else a chance.
You know, I will tell you this, though. We just got the Pro Wrestling Tees top 20, and we're number one for 2017, so I'll take that.
Yeah. Of course you are. Yeah. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/YoungBucks. Please go check it out.
Yeah.
So, but how did that come to fruition? Because you guys kind of broke down the door to Hot Topic. And
it's
funny, you're like my niece is like, you go to Hot Topic? I'm like, there's 850 Hot Topic stores.
Right.
Yeah, and when I walked in, I bought 5 shirts that weren't mine. I bought
and it's a good store.
It's great.
They have everything.
I saw a bunch of cool stuff, but it's like, it's one of those stores that you know about when you're younger, you go, but now it's become a thing.
Yeah. It's become a thing again.
To get in there is a big deal.
Yes.
How did this happen?
Huge. So
it's a funny story.
Yeah,
actually.
Go ahead. You want to tell it?
The owner was at WrestleMania weekend.
Is this Joe?
I don't know if it was the owner or if
one
it was
of the top guys.
Yeah, top executives.
So, he was at WrestleMania.
Joe's the head buyer. I know who Joe is.
Yeah.
He kept seeing
WrestleMania what?
The last one. What was I don't even
Dallas?
Know anymore.
16? 2016?
Yeah, it must have been Dallas.
Okay. So
he's at No, it was Orlando.
Okay, Orlando.
Orlando. We wrestled the Hardys that weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
So he kept seeing Young Bucks and Bullet Club t-shirts. So he was like, man, why don't we carry these shirts? This is weird. So he called up someone from the WWE, and he's like, hey, can we get the Young Bucks and Bullet Club t-shirts in our store?
He's like, yeah, it's not us.
They're like, no, we don't own that.
Don't ever say that again.
So they contacted us, and
they contacted us and Ryan, who does Pro Wrestling
Tees. Yeah, Ryan Barkin.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you interested in doing shirts here? And we're like, hell yeah, we are.
Yeah. And initially, it was going to just be us and Kenny and the Bullet Club logo. And then so I think they did a test run of that in June. And it did so great. They were like, within 3 days, they were like, we're putting in every store.
Yeah.
Just in June, like six months ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's been that quick.
Yeah, very quick.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so at that point, I think they started, I don't remember how many, maybe 150 stores to test it out in the main markets. Mm-hmm. It did so well, though. They were like, let's put them in all 850.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I had like 5 of mine. There's like 30 Bullet Clubs.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind.
We have 4 shirts in Hot Topic right now.
Like, I'll go on Twitter and my timeline is flooded with people purchasing the shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, I can't even scroll down like
you
fast
enough.
You can't
retweet all of them.
No.
It's unbelievable to me. Yeah. I try to like a lot of them, but to this day, it blows my mind.
It was a game changer because, people say, oh, shopping's not a thing anymore. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know Amazon's huge and all that, but people still love going to the mall and buying a physical
shirt. The shirt you have on right now is a Hot Topic.
Cody shirt.
Yeah.
This is a Hot Topic right here.
Hey, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you guys did this or not, but when it starts getting out, it's exciting for me, too, because, once again, I've been under the WWE umbrella for 17 years, so to kind of, I can have my own merchandise deal at Hot Topic.
That's
okay,
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I'm calling the one near my house, Citrus Park Mall.
Sure.
Shout out to Citrus Park. And I'm like, yes, do you have the Chris Jericho? let me check. No, it's not in yet. Call back. Everyone else has it.
Right.
All over the country.
The one right by your...
Yeah. Do you have the Jericho shirt yet? Not yet. Then finally, yes, it's in. I went down to the... I That's the video.
Yeah, you saw it on there. Yeah, I said, pick up a Young Buck shirt.
That's cool. Give me some space here, buddy.
We did the same thing. We went to our childhood like mall that we always used to go to. We brought our families just to
It's so cool, man.
It's cool, right?
It really is. Like, just having like my mom-in-law think it's something I'm doing is cool. It's like, wow. Like, she even thinks I'm cool, you know? Like,
the gratifications where now her wife won't get in shit for marrying the rest. Wrestler guy, right?
Right. Yeah. And that is great. Like, because you don't ever get to have that. Like, unless it takes having to get into a Hot Topic for someone who doesn't understand the business to go, oh, I get it.
That's
you
know a big
what I
mean? Deal.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing to go, hey, go to Pro Wrestling Tees and pick up a shirt. It's like, okay.
But you actually, like you said, like when I went to the mall, it was packed, and that was the same thing. Like, people still go to the mall.
Yes,
great. And I walk in Hot Topic, and like, there's people all over the place.
Yes,
they're still into it. And to see that, like I said, that actual shirt in the little rack, and like, that's really cool stuff.
Yeah, and good on Hot Topic for trying something different. Right, like, they're cashing in like
big time,
huge move for them.
Money,
like, because now there's a central place you can go for wrestling stuff. Like, you don't see that. Like,
and they have WWE stuff too.
Yes, they do. Yes,
I didn't know that. That's what Joe.
They
told me.
They had us there in what was it? Right before Christmas.
Yeah.
They gave us gift cards, and they were like, go crazy and take over our
social media.
Our social media.
That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. They gave us like $500 gift cards, and we're like, all right, let's do a little
shopping near your house.
Right by one of our childhood malls, you know?
That's great.
Another thing that we have that's exciting that got announced here is in July, we're getting our own Funko Pops, which is we're going to be the very first non-WWE wrestlers to ever have Funko Pops.
And now, the thing is, you don't have to go through anybody. Like, whatever the royalties are, you're getting. Yeah.
Right. Unless they decide to use that dread Bullet Club skull that they get all that huge royalty from, but either way, it's like it's
super so cool.
That's a New Japan Bullet thing. Tried to buy that, dude.
We were a month late.
Yeah,
we Matt and I almost owned the Bullet Club logo
in the Bullet Club name. Yeah,
but they got it.
They got it. They took a long time to get it.
That's what I mean. Like, because a lot of times I can say this. Like, New Japan, huge company, but at times. Like, they're almost childlike in, I don't know if it's, I don't want to say stupidity, but just like
maybe naive
things.
Naive.
They didn't realize how big it was.
Right.
Yeah. We could have had it.
That would have been hilarious. You guys bought the Bullet Club logo.
But in July, we get the double pack.
We get a Hot Topic exclusive.
That's in July.
Too.
And then in August, we get a variant that'll be everywhere.
Yeah,
so wherever Funko's are sold.
Yeah, we'll have two figures in a matter of
that's
2 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So whatever the royalty is on that, you guys are.
We'll do good on them. Yeah, I don't want to give.
Love those things.
Oh my god, huge man.
Love those things, you know.
Like, as soon as we announced it, I'm like, this is bigger than I really realized. Yeah. Like, this is
huge. And it's funny. Like, every quarter, I'll get my WWE royalty check, and you know, there's more Jericho merch now that I'm not there than what I was. But I look through, and it's good. It's not like what it should be, because that's just, you know, you get like 0.0002% here, 15% here, 30% here. 1% here. Those Funko Pops, I've signed probably 2,000 of them in the last month. And then you see like what my share of it is. It's like,
wow. Did they ever end up getting you a scarf?
They finally did this year.
Okay.
Last year, they had the audacity to put out scarves, and I wasn't.
And you weren't one of the things. Yeah, I remember that.
Ambrose scarf and a Roman Reigns scarf. I'm like, I wear the scarf.
I'm the scarf guy.
I even told Vince, I'm like, do you know that there's WWE scarfs and there's no Jericho scarf? He's like, what? That's ridiculous. I said, it's your company, asshole. Get a scarf.
One of those things where there's so many different departments and it's so massive?
Yes, it's such a big. You know, it's like you said, like, you run your company from your basement, you know, and you're making your Funko Pop deals. This is the opposite. I don't think, you know, it's a giant corporation.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't think, I know that Vince doesn't know everything that happens.
Right.
He doesn't know every merchandise, or this guy doesn't know that guy, or this guy doesn't know that guy, because it's really stupid when you think about it. But it just fell through the cracks.
See, like, I'm so used to being in charge of everything.
Right.
Like, our entire business, we do this. We run this thing together. Like, I'm on my phone all day. You know, my wife's helping me do it, too. But, like, we do this independently. So it'd be so hard for me to, like, just give all that up.
Right.
Like, here you go.
Yeah.
Here's the keys to the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, that's what it's like if you guys sign tomorrow with WWE.
Yeah.
You know.
Be an adjustment.
Obviously, like I said, I mean, you know, if you guys make it to the top there, it's the biggest money you could ever make.
Of course.
But you guys, once again, have this other deal where you make your own schedule, you sell your merch, and probably making more than 75% of the roster that's there and being happy about it.
Right,
You know?
Yeah, and then the other thing, we like, historically, tag teams aren't really the main feature there. So, like, I mean, it's one of the, like, what, the Hardy Boys probably, like, last
that took years for them to get to that point.
Yeah.
They had to prove themselves.
And that's the thing. It's like, all right, well, do you want to put in 10 years there and get to the point where the Hardys were? Like, we have, like, a lot of weighing options. But like you said, you get there and you make top dollar. You can't make money like that doing what we're doing.
But once again, it's yes, money's great, but the peace of mind and the freedom, there's two sides of the coin.
Yes.
And like I said, like I've been in this business for a long time, and this is the first time. I mean, when I was working in Japan in the 90s, you can make good money. I made great money. I didn't have any kids.
Yeah. Sure.
But it was, I look back now, you know, you're making 50 grand a year, and I thought, oh my God, I'm rich.
Sure, yeah, sure.
You know, but for you guys now and this year, 2018, 2017, to be able to do this, no, I don't know if anybody's been able to do what you guys are doing.
Right.
That's what impresses me.
Right.
You know?
We take a lot of pride in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've never stepped foot in WWE.
Like, well, I was an extra. Ever? I was like, an extra a couple times.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but like as a contracted wrestler.
Never
were there.
Never.
We never had that TV.
So you were there a couple times
We did some extra stuff.
Yeah. I wrestled Big Show, and it was like a last man standing match. He put me through a table.
Really?
Yeah.
We impersonated DX once.
Yeah, we were on the dirt sheet on ECW on Sci-Fi, the dirt sheet with Morrison and Miz.
We
dressed up as DX.
We had a few things.
Really?
Yeah.
That was early on, like probably, what, 8 years in?
Where they do a show like in California.
Yeah, we'd go to San Diego or Bakersfield or something. Yeah.
And at that point, though, that was our goal. We were trying to get there.
Yes.
We didn't know it would lead to what we're at now.
So many times, it looked like we were going to get signed. Like, they were like, you did great. How do you feel about moving here for this? And we were like, yeah, like, it just never happened.
Why wouldn't they sign you guys?
I don't know. It was just different back then.
Yeah.
It was harder to get signed.
Yeah.
Now it seems very easy to get signed. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was like impossible. I remember it was a huge story when we got signed to TNA. It was huge. I'm like, oh my God, you got signed to TNA?
That's like, so funny, right?
Right. And now it's like everybody gets signed everywhere. So it's not really like a big story.
Yeah. I followed, like, I'm always excited for the underdog, other companies, because it's just better for the business.
Sure,
I vaguely remember you guys. I don't remember Okada being there at all.
Yeah, he was there for a second.
And you guys, I vaguely remember it. And it was just kind of like,
it's like less than 2 years.
It's like, you know, like there's a team in ECW called Bad Blood, just two guys, you know, like, they were there for like a month, and they were like, oh, the Young Bucks, they'll be gone by then, you know.
But it didn't happen, right? We had a couple of good matches with the Motor City Machine Guns. Like, that's the only part of like that entire run. I'm like,
they split that us was cool. up.
Yeah, and then they split us up.
Really?
Yes. For
like four months.
Yeah. We told them too, like, we don't want to be split up. And they're like, you'll get back together. Okay, well, why you split us up in the first place?
But, once again, I mean, God bless them. And now with Don Callis taking over, I think they have a chance to do some
work. Looks good.
Oh, Don's brilliant, man.
That's exciting to me. Like, I told him yesterday, like, I will watch Impact now because he's in charge.
Yeah, that's what I, like, it would have to take a guy like him. And now I'll give it a shot.
They got a lot of good guys over there now.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jacobs, we're close with.
Really? With him too?
Yeah, we love Jimmy.
There.
We go way back
from
with Jimmy. ROH. Like 10 years ago. We had so the guys who didn't really go out and party after the shows, we would call it the scrub room. So it was me, Nick, Jimmy, Sami Zayn was one of them.
And Seth Rollins.
And Kevin Steen was there.
The guys who don't party.
We were the scrub room. So we'd order the pizza and we'd just talk about the business for 7 hours. Like,
and Brian Danielson.
Brian Danielson frequent. Well, everyone else would go party, you know. We'd just eat pizza and just talk about wrestling, man.
But Jimmy wasn't partying?
Like, okay. He was partying, but he was doing it in his own in the corner.
Like you said, man, good guy. I always knew with him because he would always, like, when we worked together, he would always want to, well, here's the promo, and you would get like what he had written down, but you couldn't just read it. He would have to act it out.
Sure.
He would have to tell you and do it, like, here's what I'm thinking.
That's the wrestler in him, right?
Yeah. You want to perform.
You want to go do the promo, man?
Exactly. So tell me about you're talking about WWE and the whole getting in trouble for the too sweet.
Sure.
Because it was a big, like, you guys, like, maybe that stemmed from when you did the Bullet Club invasion.
For 100%.
Let's talk about that.
Because it was 24 hours after we did it.
So talk about that, the invasion. How did that come about?
We had that plan for, man, a long time.
6 months?
Maybe.
Really?
Maybe even longer. We wanted to do it for...
We wanted to do it with the Hardys.
Actually, we were originally going to do it with the Hardy Boys.
It wasn't going to be an invasion, though. It was going to be something similar to that.
We were going to be outside of WrestleMania, and we were going to do something with the Hardys.
It
might have been Dallas.
It was around the time the Hardys were doing the whole crazy Brother Nero and Broken Matt thing, where they were just showing. What were they doing? Like, they were, like, transporting to different places, right?
Right.
They were going to transport to WrestleMania, and we were going to be there, and we were going to have, like, but it was gonna, little altercation.
It was going to look like they were going to be like, we're going to head into that building and do something, yeah. or like we're going to invade. And then me and Nick show up out of nowhere and double super kick them or get into some
type
of fight.
That's right. We're going to take their titles.
Yes.
They're the TNA champs at the time.
Right, right.
We were going to actually do a storyline with Ring of Honor and TNA. We were going to like cross promote.
Oh. Yes.
It was going to be awesome. We had like a year storyline.
That was supposed
out.
To happen at Orlando, actually, WrestleMania.
That's right. That's
and then everything got changed.
Got
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, so man. Everything got changed.
So then New Japan works with a company called Access TV where they have a weekly show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And Access TV contacted Nick and I, and Logano is actually one of the guys that hit us up. I don't know if he's doing some cool stuff with NWA right now.
They were about to do the New Japan Long Beach show.
Yes.
And
they
Monday
contacted
Night Raw
us.
Happened to be like the week before out in LA.
Right.
So they were like, hey, would you guys be interested in doing something?
Doing some type
up?
Of invasion. We'll put it on Access TV. And Nick and I are like, yes.
Really?
Let's do it.
Access TV.
Access was all about it.
Wow.
Access talked to New Japan. New Japan said, no way.
Yeah.
So then we were like, man, this is two times we've been struck out
Matt
with this
and I,
thing.
At
like,
this point, we're like, we got to just do it on our YouTube show.
Right. Like, we're like, let's just do it ourselves. So we'll finance the whole thing.
And they're like, hey, our crew, Marty, Hangman, Paige,
Cody.
And Cody, we're like, they'll be cool with it. We asked them.
We pitched
like,
them the idea.
Yeah,
I think were we here? I think we were at the Tokyo Dome Hotel, and we just told them the whole idea.
Like Brandy was with us.
The idea was basically we had a big storyline where a certain stooge was taking and seizing, desisting all of our likeness and like
our catchphrases,
our suck it.
Cody's last name. He can't say Rhodes anymore.
Yeah. We had the FTR for a while, which is F the Revival.
Right, right.
That was taken from
that
us. That was Cody's whole brainchild. That was his. He came up with that. Basically, this stooge was taking all this stuff and sending us legal letters and saying we couldn't use this stuff. So whenever any of the stuff was mentioned on the show, it'd be bleeped out.
Mm.
So finally, we were like, you know what? We have to go fight this stooge and take back what's ours. And you know where to do that? We go to Raw to do that.
Yeah.
You know, that was the whole idea. So we were going to Raw to basically find the stooge and kidnap him and take him and what? This is all being the elite.
Yeah, she was making this shit up.
It was a lot of like. A parody version of the DX.
Actual invasion.
It was a lot about that, pretty much.
The night before, I had everybody over at my house for like a big family dinner, and we were literally watching the old like invasion on YouTube just to get some ideas. And so we at that point, we kind of came up with a game plan. Like, well, let's make it different, but
we
let's also
a
like
huge Hummer.
Hummer limo.
Hummer limo.
Yeah. We had blow horns and all that fun stuff. We had all of our t-shirts on.
So you showed up, was it Anaheim?
It was Ontario. California.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's not the entire story though.
Before that, there's a Hot Topic literally across the street.
Yes.
We're like, oh my God, we have to go there before we go.
And let's gather some people because maybe they'll follow us over to the building. So we announce literally 2 hours heads up, maybe not even, maybe an hour.
Like on Twitter.
Hey, we're going to Hot Topic. Come meet us.
We were thinking, okay, maybe 25, 50 people will show up. We show up, there's 300 to 400.
Wow.
To the point where the cops are there.
For 2 hours notice.
And they're trying to close down the whole thing. We're like, no, we need them. We'll be as respectful as possible. We'll try to film something.
We actually were trying to do a little meet and greet for them for being there, but then they were like, we'll be here all day.
Yeah, that was way too many.
So we had to move it outside, and that's where we shot a bunch of the scenes for the invasion.
This picture is actually
from the mall.
From the Cody
2020.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
It's like a whole crowd of people.
He's standing on the megaphone.
Cody's got a megaphone like standing on the roof of a car or something.
Cody did the Independence Day with Will Smith, the movie, the president's speech.
You guys are just like amusing yourself. So all the people follow you over to
They follow us over to Ontario, and we're being respectful, but we're being loud. We're driving around the limo, so obviously the security.
At one point, it was funny, though. Our limo driver was like, hey, let me see if I could actually drive into where all the trucks are.
Yeah, we got in.
I can see it in my head, the back parking lot.
And they allowed it. We're like, oh, my God, we're
they
through.
We're in. Hey, I got some wrestlers here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like,
it bought it because it looked realistic.
So then we did it was really just like we shot a couple of shots. Like the way it was all produced and edited, it looks like we were there for hours, like causing mayhem. And
DX did a thing where they asked some fans, hey, did you buy your tickets? And they're like, no, we didn't.
Right.
We got them for free.
Yeah.
Right.
We asked a fan, and the fan legit said that.
We didn't coach them. We didn't tell them what to say. He's like, no, literally, I got a free ticket.
He said he got comp tickets. So we were like, oh my God, that's too good not to use.
Yeah.
So I put it in there. I edit all the stuff.
Yeah.
So I put it in there because I thought it was funny. It was same exact verbiage as the original one.
Yeah.
So do you guys go ahead?
Oh, go ahead.
Do you guys not care? Like, You know that someone's getting pissed off.
Oh yeah,
the whole time Cody's like they're furious with us.
Well,
right
you know, like there's a whole hierarchy in WWE where, like I said, like Vince doesn't know Young Bucks, doesn't know New Japan. Yeah. Well, why would he?
Right.
But at some point, he's like, "Who the fuck are these guys? You must know your name."
Well, did you hear this story? No. Jimmy Jacobs, he sees us outside the building.
Yeah.
We're filming. He comes at us. He jumps on Matt and I, gives us a huge hug because at that point we hadn't seen him in like 2 years. He's like, "We got to get a group shot. Let me do a selfie." He takes the selfie. I tell him, we have this on film. I say, "Do not tweet that. You'll get fired."
He says that.
Bingo. Look what happens.
He's like, "I'm not going to tweet that." Yeah. 10 minutes later, he tweeted it. I'm like, "Oh my God.
What are you doing, Jimmy?"
He hashtag BC
invasion. Yeah, he promoted the invasion.
But like for me, like I know him. We work together really good. And I even called him. He's been on the show. And I said, like, "You're not stupid, dude."
He knew it was
up,
right?
Like I said, he wanted to be a performer.
We figured that. We're like, there's got to be
a
reason
to
that.
Get fired because he took a picture with you guys.
Yeah.
Now he's the biggest baby face on the scene.
Yeah. And then it made
Evil Empire.
See,
fired
and that's the thing. Like, they kept selling for us, right? Like, the next day we got the letter. And I was like, wow, I was almost shocked. I'm like, they're going to sell for us this much? Like, don't they realize, like,
I went home,
we're just going to turn this into something for us.
Bigger.
Yeah, I went home and I edited the whole thing. And I got it right after Monday Night Raw ended.
Yeah.
Because the internet was going nuts. They're like, what the hell?
It was trending.
Are they going to show up on the actual show type thing?
So it actually probably helped the show because people were like buzzing. Like, hey, are they going to come through? Right. Is this an angle?
Yeah. Right.
So it got way too much attention. Matt and I, Cody, we all knew.
We
like,
knew
something's
it would be big. I don't think we realized how big it would be.
But what hurt me the most was it was all on Matt and I. No one else got any heat.
It's just the Young Bucks,
Young Bucks, you guys can't do the too sweet anymore. We're like, what?
Yeah, we were the only ones who got the season to sit because they know it's our show.
So did you get a letter, like an email? Or did you get a letter in the mail?
I got an email.
So who knows your email address?
Well, it's pretty public, on our websites and stuff.
But there was, it was pretty intimidating, so we're like, okay.
But you know what? Like, even as you know, wrestling fans, as kids, you get this cease and desist.
It's
probably a little bit like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But you know, like, I talked to so many lawyers, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. They don't have a case. You know that, right? I'm like, of course not, but they're just going to stack paper and bleed me dry. Like, I'm just going to, you know,
it got
like, whatever.
So big that I forgot his name, but Donald Trump's ex-lawyer tweeted us and he
Seguilo,
DM'd us.
Seguilo, I think that's his name.
What?
And he was like, "Hey,
I'll represent you guys.
I'll represent you. I'll take this on for free."
He said,
"Wow."
He said that
this isn't right.
Yeah, he said we took care of his grandkids one day at a show in Atlanta. It was really sweet.
We were
actually
blown away. We're like, "Wow, this."
Wow. I'm surprised you guys didn't.
We didn't at that point, man. I was so over it.
You know,
I'm like, "Let's
just." But, funny story is we. To rewind the clock about a year before that, we were like, you know what? It's time to move on from doing the suck it gesture and the too sweet. Mm. Like, let's somehow cut it out of our ass.
We had already gotten rid of the suck
it. So we wanted to cut it out anyway, and this made it even better.
Easier, because we were going to be big baby faces.
Like, God gave us a gift right here.
And you put out the shirt on ProWrestlingTees.com.
Caesar/YoungBucks.
Please go visit.
It's on Hot Topic now.
And it becomes the biggest. And Hot Topic, and that was a huge,
huge
thing.
Dude, as far as debut for a t-shirt, they blow away. Nothing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, nothing touches
that.
Now,
you know somebody in WWE is going, these.
Yeah, I know. It's irritating.
Foiled again.
And earlier you asked, well, do you guys care? And truthfully, I don't.
No.
Because, like we were talking about this earlier. Like, what did you change at that low point of your career? And it was this attitude. It was like, you can't care.
You can't care.
Because, if you do care, you're gonna sell for them? Like, don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but they're selling for you.
Right.
Which is so crazy.
I know.
And that's the thing, too. Like, when you guys actually, like, breach the security area, in the back of your mind, like, are you ever thinking, like how far are you going to go with this?
I don't know if you can go any further.
if someone, like, I remember I was there for the invasion, the original invasion, which was 97.
Yeah.
And I was a freaking jabroni guy. But I remember, like, what do we do? Like, should we open the gate? Like, let's get Haku and Barbarian waiting, Dave Taylor.
Right.
Let's get all the shooters.
Right.
Like, as if DX is going to go in there and they're going to get in a fight. But for you guys, I'm thinking, like, what would you do if...
I don't know. Like, we actually discussed
Vince is
that.
So nuts, he walks out and, like, hey. You know?
I actually said this because Cody was like, what if, like, Triple H walks out? I said, that'd be great. That'd be great.
And that's what the DX guys said. I hope they open the door and they want to fight us. Like, we got it all on camera.
But you know what? We know so many people over there that we were getting texts the whole time. Like, hey, this is pretty funny. What are you guys doing? They didn't really care. Like, the guys...
My wife was like, just don't get arrested. I'm like, why? That'd be awesome. I'll put a t-shirt with my mugshot on it.
That was actually the plan, remember?
Yeah, we actually were like, maybe hopefully we'll get arrested.
That.
What would you get arrested for?
But I know.
That's the thing. They could call the cops for it, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then you guys have the one suite.
Yes.
Is it a shirt, a gesture?
Yeah, it's a gesture and a t-shirt. It's Kenny's actually brainchild. He kind of came up with it. Yeah. Now it's like Nick and I will just be like, hey, touch tips, bro. And like we did. You touch index fingers like ET.
It's amazing though when you think about it. Like I was contemplating this the other day. So you guys have been here for a while, and the three foreign guys from Finn Balor, Prince Devitt goes, and then AJ comes in, then AJ goes, and then Kenny comes in. It's like these three amazing, like what a wow,
all stars,
unbelievable that there was one after another after another. That's pretty crazy that they were able to do that. You know,
so it's just Bullet Club itself. It's like this. It's become like a franchise now. It's like an all star team. Like we've always had big players. Like we had Adam Cole with us for a second.
Yeah,
you know? He's not there. We got freaking Cody Rhodes. Like
Marty
like,
was a big one.
Marty, you know, like
and you know what, Adam Page. The Hangman,
he's awesome.
He's gonna have a huge 2018. He's great.
He's gonna be like world champion years from now.
Yeah.
He's
so good. He's so got good. So much like
so
star.
Do you guys decide who comes in the Bullet Club now? Like you guys,
we have
taken on the mantle.
We have some say.
We have say.
Like we, there's a lot of people that. It's Gato number one.
Okay,
but. Like sometimes they'll approach us and Kenny and
what do you think about this guy?
Yeah.
Right.
We have an influence on who comes in, but final say is always going to be Gato. Yeah,
they're New Japan style things. Yeah. It's funny because I you know do signings with different fans like, hey, let's do the Too Sweet. I can't do it,
right?
Because to me, Too Sweet is not you guys. It's the freaking NWO,
of course,
jack offs. Uh-huh. Like you still think like I would never like hey, Too Sweet. Like no, I'm not doing that. Well, come on, Too Sweet. No. I'll just give you a thumbs up. Forget it.
Now I know how you feel because we don't do it at all. Like, meet and greets, we don't do it. It's just
but it's become a whole for the new generation.
It's a culture,
you guys
man.
You guys just decide to start doing it because you liked NWO.
We started doing it. We're huge NWO marks. And there's a company in LA called Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Right.
PWG, and Matt and I started doing that in 2012.
It wasn't just that, though. It was like we would act like Hulk. We would act like Savage. We would do, you know, every mannerism of all of our favorite wrestlers. It was kind of just like we weren't mocking them, but we were kind of like
just having fun.
Having fun.
Because that's a company where you can do that.
Do anything.
Right.
Yep.
You know. And then we started doing it there. Then we saw that the Bullet Club guys were doing it too. And we were talking about this earlier. Like, how funny. We're all kind of acting the same.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? This weird parody act thing we're doing? Like, it's funny. Like, it's a tribute. And that's when we were in Bullet Club.
From that.
Yeah. And that's where it blew up. It became this.
And that's
thing.
One of the things, like, when you guys made your deal, I know it's like, maybe not now, but at one point it was, okay, we're going to do Ring of Honor in New Japan, but you always carved out PWG.
We still have it on our contract.
And what's the appeal of that place?
It's home.
We feel like we owe Super Dragon, the owner of the company, a lot because he pretty much found us.
Put us on the map.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's Super Dragon? I don't know him.
He used to be like a big indie guy.
Okay. The 2000s, early 2000s. He was the king. Like he was like a legend in SoCal.
Exactly.
His name was always Super Dragon.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much the first guy to give us like a break.
Yep.
Like he always pushed us to like the main event at his
show. Once we got shown on his shows, because they sell on highspots.com, they have a big DVD collection, and people still buy DVDs from Highspots. Wow. And PWG's always number one, you know? So we started getting on the DVDs there, and people started going, oh, who are these guys, you know? Yeah. And we started getting booked everywhere because of him.
That's how we got into Japan. Dragon Gate saw us at PWG, and they're like,
and
hey, would you guys
snowball from there?
It's become a big kind of like the cool thing to do. Like, Sofia Vergara's there.
Oh, yeah.
Husband, boyfriend, whatever. Yep. There's a guy's going
it
there.
It sells out in like an hour. It's
and they
crazy.
They refuse to change the business model, right?
Yeah,
they do the
they won't change
smaller
it.
Venue, and they will never.
I don't think they'll ever change it.
Wow.
They love it.
Which is so like amazing that you wouldn't take that carrot of going to the bigger venue, you know?
It's crazy. He doesn't care about money. That's the thing.
Hmm.
Like, man, there's been times where Matt and I had like, man, it was like someone approached us to try to get like a big money, like pay-per-view for them. And he just didn't want it. Yep. Like Rolling Stones wanted to do interviews with him. He's like, no need.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. It's like, he doesn't
care.
Can
I bring the Carson Daly show here? No, I really
don't
want
to. Yeah, that was a recent
okay.
one. Yeah.
Carson Daly?
That was a recent one. Yeah.
I hate TRL. That's crazy
that's
though,
back.
When you think about it. Yeah, I know it's back. I think it's with Carson Daly too.
Oh, wow.
But that's the thing. It's amazing that it takes, that's pretty cool that the guy will not sell out, quote unquote.
No, he likes what he has and he just wants to keep it that
way.
And
it works. For some reason, it works.
It's like a hipster crowd, too. They're just PWG fans. Like, a lot of these people, I don't think, really keep track of wrestling besides PWG.
It's just like making the scene. Typical Hollywood, typical LA. You got to go there because it's a cool place.
You got to go to the show. Everyone's going. And they got a cool thing.
Let's talk about, as we wind down here, there's a big thing with you guys and Cody.
Yep.
With the 10,000 seat arena, whatever it is. How did that come about? Is it happening? What's the idea?
Yeah,
it's definitely happening.
That was Cody's baby. Like, he really wanted to do this. Like,
yep, because it's because of Meltzer, right?
Yeah, they had like a bad
It started
thing.
As a joke, pretty much.
Yeah.
And Cody's...
What was the quote that Dave said?
He said something about ROH would never fill like a 10,000 seat arena or something.
Cody's
like,
I'll take you up on that bet.
Yeah.
But before that, Cody had already talked to us about doing a big arena show. Yeah, like, soon.
Really? So that just added fuel to the fire, you know what I mean?
And he's like, hey, if anybody's going to do it, why don't we do it? You know, let's put our money where our mouths are. Yeah. Self-finance
the
whole thing.
Promote it and finance it?
Yes. And we're going to have sponsors involved. Like, I've already talked we've had a lot of offers.
I've heard, really?
It's crazy.
Yeah. I've heard a couple. Like, you don't have to say them, but Cody told me. There's some big name sponsors.
There's
one across the street.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, if you were here, you could see it for yourself.
There's people that have approached us trying to fund the whole thing.
Yeah,
and we're like, oh no, we don't need it. We want to try it on our own.
We've got the money to do it.
Yeah, but it's getting to that point where it's like,
everybody wants
cool.
to be involved.
Yeah.
With this thing,
and that's when when you have that buzz, like, you know, like 10,000.
It's a lot of seats.
It's a lot of people.
Yes,
like even in WWE. There's a few Raws that will do it, you know, Chicago, and then Raws are pretty much, you could do it there, but for a house show?
Yeah, that's tough.
I can't remember, maybe at Christmas time, you might be able to get close to it, but that's the WWE.
Right, this is ambitious.
This is,
And that's why we're calling it, it's all in, because we're
all in.
We're all in on this thing. Like, we didn't want to just be like, hey, we're going to run a big show, like a couple thousand people. You know what, if we're going to do this,
10,000. If you get 9,999, it's not a success.
We need 10,000.
See, but I'm the same, and you guys are doing the Rock and Wrestling Rage of the Cruise, which is going to be so much fun. I'm glad you guys are doing it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That was, to me, was the same thing. Like, I have to do this.
Yes.
Like, if I don't, I'll always wonder, and I know it's going to work, but it might not work. And
right.
Yeah.
It's working now. It's not working as much as I would like it to be, but it's still going good.
Good.
But if it didn't work out, or if it didn't happen, I'd always be wondering.
Like, why didn't I try that? Yeah, I always wanted to.
Deal.
It's very ambitious of you to try that.
It's a lot at stake.
See, I respect that. Like, it's do-it-yourself mentality, DIY spirit. I love that, man.
And if it, you know, the word fail is never apropos, but if it doesn't work the way I want it to, I'm on the hook.
Right.
But
you
if
tried.
It does work, then suddenly I'm a freaking genius.
Yes.
Like, look at Jericho.
And like, how can't you support that? You know, as a fan,
that's true.
Like, how can't you? Like, look at this guy. This guy's trying to do this thing, fill up a cruise ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
come on. Like, or us, we're trying to fill up a freaking arena.
That's what I mean. Like, I think it's going to be one of those things, like we said, like PWG, wow, like we want to be a part of this and see if we can hit 10,000.
Yeah,
I don't even really even like wrestling, but I like the concept of it.
I like the concept of these underdog guys trying to do something different, trying to change the business.
And once again, I don't know where you guys are going to do it, if it's in the States, so I know there's a couple ideas.
We'll tell you after this is over.
Okay, but
we have a date in a city secured, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So if it is in the States and you guys do 10,000, Vince McMahon is going to flip his wig, man.
I know.
Once again, but these Young Bucks, I sign them. Give them $10 million to be here. Like, that's the best thing about it. Like, if you guys can do that,
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it'll be big for everybody.
You know?
Yep.
So what's the mindset? You got sponsors, and is you have a certain match in
we
mind,
have a couple few matches.
We got some big matches in mind. We have some friends that are wanting to do it.
But again, I think the selling point is the idea that we talked about just a second ago. It's like people just want to support something different like this.
Yeah.
That's the sale.
Experience of it.
Yeah, the experience of, you know what? I'm flying all the way from Germany to go to this all-in show. I'm all in.
Yes.
Who's all in? Are you all in?
What
you know what I mean?
Catchphrase, too.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
All in.
And you know what's cool about it is New Japan's cool with it and Ring of Honor's cool with it, even though we're under contract. So that's what makes it even better. And
they're probably like, all right, go for it.
And they obviously want to have
out.
ROH wants to help out, obviously. And like, why
New
not?
Japan
you know?
To help out
New Japan wants to help
it
out.
It just benefits them.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you guys do this, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be crazy, right?
It's going to be huge.
But I love the concept of it, too. Like you said, like people wanting to be a part of an experience.
Yes, that's it.
And even with the cruise and not to name drop, but Paul Stanley, they have a Kiss cruise.
Yep.
And he and I are buds, and I was talking to him about it because all these bands wanted so much money, and I was like, I can't afford any of them. I'm just gonna do Fozzy and a couple other cool bands. And he's like, you're not selling a band, you're selling an experience.
Yes.
The people want to be a part of this experience. Yeah. And it's the same with you guys. Yep. Mm-hmm. Whatever the matches are or aren't, right. It's the being a part of it.
Yeah. It's know? Extra. And if we happen to have a killer card, which I think we're working on, it's gonna be like people be like, that's even better. Great. Yeah. Yeah, you know, so.
Is there some people like, once again, I don't want you guys to say anything.
Well, we might be looking at one of the hopeful participants.
K-fabe.
Are you all in, bro?
K-fabe, brother. I'm all give me the t-shirts. Are you all in? Yeah, yeah. But I mean, there's a couple guys that are being bandied about that. Maybe it's going to be Daniel Bryan or maybe CM Punk, sure. Or whatever it may be. Do you need a guy like that, or can you do it just with the guys that we know?
I think it would be nice to have someone like that to be on the show.
I think that would be the cherry on the top.
Yeah.
Cody's mindset is he thinks he could do it all with what
just
we
with the
have.
The guys that are around.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm always the type where I just want everything.
Yeah. Like, our mentality, it's always like people like, oh, hey, it's Wrestle Kingdom, everybody. It's that one time of the year. Hey, WrestleMania. Like, it's WrestleMania every night we're in the ring. Like, we don't treat it like it's, oh, it's small town. Like, we go balls
every
out
show's
every night.
So we're a little different.
Yeah. So it's like, you know what? We're going to have it's going to be a party. Let's get this guy. Let's get that guy.
But I agree with what he says, though. Yeah. It's going to be special. And yeah. I don't know.
And
we'll
that's
see.
The draw.
Yeah.
That's is great. The draw, and he is right, but I would still like to have.
There's still some guys you want
still
to
some
call.
Guys I like on the show.
Punk, yeah. Are you listening? Come on, buddy. last few questions that we're talking about some of your moves that you guys do, and you do like, you know, the Meltzer driver, and you did the Meltzer driver to the floor, and I'm watching this stuff, and it's one of those things where like you guys make it so effortless. I'm thinking like I could never do this stuff or even take it. Right. How do you even practice that? Like, what do you do? It's a front flip into a leg drop, and you're doing the pile drive. Like,
yeah, it's mostly Nick's timing. Like, you're doing the friggin' athletic thing. I'm just tombstoning
the
guy.
Yeah. And you're doing the.
I just do the tombstone.
That's called the Meltzer drive.
Yes, that's the Meltzer drive.
But the timing on that is still hard.
That's true.
Because you got to control when I'm coming down too.
That's
you know what I mean.
How did you guys ever
you came up with that one, right?
Yeah, I came up with it. We still do a version where I just do the springboard, but I bring the guy down.
We call that the Indy Taker.
With no flip.
Indy Taker.
And for some reason, we were watching one of our matches, and it went into my head, hey, man, I think I could do a flip before that. Mm. Yeah. And I told Matt about it.
It was an idea we toyed around with for a while, but we never actually did it.
Yeah, until we were wrestling Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels, and I brought up that idea.
Yeah.
And you know how those guys are. They're crazy. So they're like, you got to try it.
They're the original you guys.
They really are.
And they're like, you're going to try it, and you're going to do it tonight on me. And I'm like, oh, God.
Right, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
So we never practiced
it. We just did it, and we nailed it.
We just did it, and we nailed it. And we're like, all right, that's our next finish.
And we've never messed it up.
Yeah. You never messed
never.
It up?
No.
Really?
Never. Yeah, I don't think we've ever messed it up.
The timing's always been...
It's always been perfect.
It's starting to take
knock
its
on
toll
wood.
On my lower back, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my moves, I land...
I was wondering about that.
We've been starting to do more like sharpshooter-type moves, like where you don't have to like take huge bumps every night.
Super kicks. Like at smaller shows, when I do the flip, I'm going to land more on my feet before I go
Which
down.
Is perfectly fine, I
Yeah.
Think.
Right. Just to protect my back a little bit more.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing, when you have such a... I mean, you guys are in your 30s now?
Yeah, Nick
I'm
is
close to 30.
How old are you? 28. I'm 32.
32, yeah. And Nick is
28.
God, like, oh my God.
Yeah,
God.
This the run he's had, and he's 28.
I started wrestling at 13. Yeah, 13.
13.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
guys 15 like years. Said, we talked about this before. You guys are so much like the Hardys.
That's crazy.
It blows my mind. Did you guys enjoy working with Matt and Jeff?
Oh my God.
You must have got along with them.
So
well.
Favorite cool. opponents.
So
I mean, they're just like you guys, except for 10 years older.
Yeah.
Whatever
they
be, right?
They're so
when we talk to them, it's like we're talking to ourselves.
Right.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Like your name is Matt.
Yeah.
You remind me of Matt.
I'm a little crazy. You're
like
Jeff.
It's like you guys are like mirror images.
It's weird. I think that's why we like
our story too. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
we ran indie companies.
Kids, indie companies. You told me that before.
We did the trampoline stuff just like
so
them.
Unbelievable.
It's unreal.
And explain too that when Dave's father passed away, you guys did a father Meltzer driver.
Yep, first dad
to the floor.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
So it's like crazy. That morning, Nick tweets out without even talking to me. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna do a special
I already
one
had
for
it
your
in
dad."
My mind.
And I'm like, "You need to tell me what are we doing tonight?"
Yeah.
So we go to the show that day, and like we didn't even know what we were truthfully were gonna do. You had an idea.
No, I knew. I knew I was gonna do a double springboard into it, but I didn't know if it was possible.
Yeah.
How do you land?
That one was pretty much on your
butt. That one I got hurt.
Your butt, right?
Right on your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Your heels and your butt were messed up for a few days after that.
It's a floor, dude. Like, it doesn't work that way.
But it was worth it.
We've never done it since, that one.
Maybe. One and done for that, for sure.
Yeah.
I've done one before where I did a flipping...
dive over the top rope into a melcher.
Into the melcher drive.
Like a tope con hilo front flip to the floor.
Kenny's Terminator dive.
Exactly. While I'm on the floor holding the guy in a tombstone.
That one hurt me real bad.
That one was without padding.
That was a one and done. Well, you know, maybe I'll do it at the Dome.
You guys also do like a lot of matches where they're comedy's not the right word, but they're entertaining matches.
Yes, for sure. Yeah,
that's maybe more of those.
That's what we've been doing lately. Like we try to we go, hey, let's make a movie tonight. Like so, it's like we have the comical part of it. We have a little bit of drama. You know, like a scary part or whatever. Like we try to hit every single like part. You know,
we know when to do the like comedy style.
Yeah,
just to try to add a little more longevity to our careers, you know what I mean?
You just become smarter as a wrestler, as you know, like
as you get older, because like listen, like I'm 47, still can work really at a high level, but you pick your spots and know what you can and can't do.
Yep.
And there's things that I used to do in my 20s that's like could I still do it? Maybe, but there's no reason.
I don't need to.
Because you have to get, you know, when we're younger, hey man, until you get hurt the first time.
Right.
That's what it is.
You're invincible.
Oh, for sure.
You and Christopher Daniels, like, it's insane to me.
Christopher Daniels,
like the level you two perform at.
Yeah.
Like,
Chris, I think we're the same age.
Same age.
Same exact age. Wow.
Until you get hurt that first time.
Yes.
You know, didn't one of you guys break your hand?
I broke my hand twice.
Yep. Right. So now you're like,
I'm like, let's chill out.
It's not as fun anymore.
It took us a long time to smarten up.
We
always heard the advice.
You don't listen to it until you get hurt. Get hurt and you're like, okay,
slow down.
Nick Bockwinkle telling me that in 1991. Wow. Like, you guys move too fast and you do too much. I'm like, he's just jealous.
He can't work at our level.
Can't move anymore. And then now I'm like, oh my God, like
he's right.
I love you. You're so right. You're so right. But you don't think about that when you're
already getting to that point where we get it. Like
And
Nick's 28, you know, it's crazy.
Right. And you're 32.
And we still move fast and do a lot of crazy stuff.
But we do it at the appropriate times now.
Pick your spots. Yeah. It's so much different, right?
But at the same time, like we were just talking about this earlier, it always is WrestleMania still though. It's like we'll go, we didn't do too much. Then I'll watch the match back. I'm like, what am I talking about? It's four dives. You know what I mean?
So, last few questions. So, do you guys think at some point you will go to WWE? I don't know, man.
That's
Nick Jackson.
It's always going to be a question,
right?
Yeah.
No matter
it'll
what.
Be like the thing with Sting,
no matter how big we get, it'll always be a question that lingers on our career. I think, as well as Kenny.
Yeah.
Because the three of us, you know what? He went to developmental for a little bit, people don't even remember that. Yeah, I don't even know
that's
if it
not
counts.
Even considered really a WWE role.
It'll always be a question. The way we're going now, we could retire in
quit tomorrow and do something else, and we'd be fine, though, because we have enough saved now at this point. Like, it's like we're at a good spot.
But the one thing is, and this is, and this is the one reason why I ask you this, is that we all grew up as fans.
No, sure, of course. Yep.
And even for me, it took me 9 years to get to WWE. When I went to WCW, why? Because WWE wasn't calling me.
Sure.
And to the back of my mind, I always wanted to work for Vince McMahon. Because, you know, it's like the Guns N' Roses reunion. Like, I was talking to Slash 2 years ago before it happened. I'm like, sooner or later, you'll do it because there's only a few bands in the world that can play stadiums. And the fact, like, you can do it.
Yeah.
And you always think, stadiums. And, you know, you guys will always think, maybe... Right.
Yeah.
What about WWE? Now, knowing you give up your freedom and knowing that you give up all this other stuff, but still, is it something in the back of your mind? It's the goal, or could you never go there and still?
This point, it's not a goal.
Okay.
Right.
We don't need it.
It was.
Yeah. Yo, for sure. Right. When
that's
our
the
first,
thing, like,
our first 8 years.
But remember with AJ, it was the same thing. AJ was like, I never have to go.
Right.
And then he got a call and it worked out.
Two and a half years ago, he said, I'll never go.
Yeah. He told us that in a room. He's like, I'll probably never go.
Yeah, it's always something we just can't answer because we don't know the future.
And even AJ, when he first got there, it was like...
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
There was a adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you have to play... You know, when you go there, you're playing in Vince's sandbox.
Yes.
Yeah. And he doesn't like certain things and doesn't like, AJ Styles? AJ Styles is the best worker in the world. Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Let's see.
Yeah.
And it takes some time to prove that.
For
so
sure,
you kind of know. You have to live within those... those confines.
Yeah.
You know?
I always tell Matt this. I tell my family this too. If tomorrow's my last match and I can't wrestle ever again after that, I would be so happy with what we've done now. Yeah.
We've built an empire, man. The Young Bucks brand. It's like, man, like what else could I want? And that's literally, that would be like the last missing piece would be going there and doing a run or something.
I always love the name Young Bucks too. Like when you guys like in your 50s. It's like HBK, the Heartbeat.
Yeah, same thing.
You're not a kid anymore.
No. You know, I'm already getting that now. They're like, aren't you in your 30s?
You're young. I get some people, kids come up to me and go, what does Y2J mean? I'm like, well, ask your parents about what happened in 1999, right? It's called this thing called Y2K. You probably don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Last question. What is your biggest selling merch shirt that you've had?
Man,
it's either the cease and desist or
the Young Bucks skull logo with the Bullet Club. The original one with the Hot Topic one, with the purple and the yellow bandana.
It's probably close. Our, we would have to look at the statistics.
I would think that one.
But it's one of those.
And there's so many knockoffs. Like even Alpha Club. It's like, oh my God, I felt bad. Like I'm copying.
No, please.
Club, Villain Club.
Get in on it.
Stephen Amell Club. God.
It's great,
like, when is it going to finish?
I don't know.
Yeah. Never.
I hope. It's crazy. That's the thing, though. You got to be prepared. Like there's a bubble for everything, right? So you just plan for the next thing. Like,
Yeah.
But you know what? We thought it peaked 3 years ago. It's gotten bigger every year.
But how could it get any bigger? You know what I mean?
We didn't know Hot Topic was going to happen last year.
Sure.
I didn't even know Hot Topic was still a thing until you guys got in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Hot Topic, like, who cares? But then, like I said, it is a thing. It's huge.
It's definitely a thing. Yep. We're trying to get our clothing brand, because Nick said earlier, we're cooperating with Killing the Business. So we're actually making that a clothing brand. It's like, Young Bucks isn't even on the thing. So like, we're trying to get that into Hot Topic next. Yeah. So we can have something like, so if Young Bucks ever becomes uncool, it's like, well, here's a Killing the Business shirt. Which, you know what I mean?
People don't even really know what that means, but it's cool.
It's just cool.
And that's the thing that I love. Like when you start getting success, you get confidence.
Yep.
And then you become dangerous.
Yeah.
Because like for me, I'll try anything now. I'll do anything.
Yeah, why not?
Because I know it's probably going to work, because in the back of my mind, when you make it in wrestling and you make it here and you make it there, suddenly like I'll do it.
Yeah, you can do anything.
Crazy, now you guys have the same thing where, like you said, you're going to go show up at WWE at the Ontario Arena
and not care,
guys. Yeah. And have no, like people would be mortified, terrified. Yeah. Like, Vince never wants to hire me. Like,
and we didn't care.
We don't care.
It's fun. Like you said, you feel like you can do anything. Like, and maybe this is inspiration from you, from guys like Colt Cabana. Like I just
signed. Colt's another guy.
Like,
yeah, I want.
Just doing
never
your own
made
thing.
It in the big leagues, but made it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like people aren't afraid to do anything.
You could break this.
Oh yeah,
right now.
Our first children's book.
Yeah,
nice. I'm writing it right now. Actually, yeah.
So who'd you sign a contract with that?
So it's the same people that did Colt's book. I would love to actually name drop the publishing company. I can't remember it offhand
children's
right now.
Book.
Yeah, but I've already discussed it with Hot Topic about putting it in stores, and they're interested. So I'm like, you sure you want to? It's for 4 to 7 year olds. You sure you want it? Like, yeah, of course we do. So hopefully in the coming year, in 2018, we'll have it out.
What's
I'm
it
not
called?
Sure. Superkick, the heart of a champion, I believe is the. It's still very rough. I'm still making edit changes too. I was supposed to work on it on the way here, but I forgot my stupid charger on my phone, so I'm like, but yeah, we're just very early in it.
I was going over the match with Kenny yesterday. He's like, okay, it's a Snapdragon party. I'm like, oh. I know where you got that from. Superkick party.
I'm excited to see that tomorrow. I'll be sitting ringside.
I'm excited to take it. I'll tell you that. Guys, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks will be on the Chris Jericho Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea, and so can you. For as little as $150, you can hold your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. And once you book that cabin, your price includes everything. All the concerts, comedy shows, live podcasts, meet and greets, autograph signings, pictures, everything in between. Includes your food even. Only things you got to pay for aboard the ship are alcohol, gambling, and you'll be able to hang out with the Young Bucks. Both Matt and Nick will be there meeting and greeting. It's a cruise ship, nowhere to go. So you know you're going to get to see everybody, including Jim Ross, Jerry the King Lawler, SoCal Val, Mick Foley, Noel Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Raven, Keeping It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms, Beyond the Darkness, Tim and Dave telling some scary tales, Colt Cabana, Marty DeRosa doing their unprofessional wrestling podcast, Don Callis and Paul Lazenby doing Killing the Town, Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Ron Funches keeping you laughing, Busted Open Radio joining the festivities. Don't forget about Sal and Q from Impractical Jokers. They're going to be there. Corey Taylor of Slipknot and Stone Sour, Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, Fozzie with Painless being our second top 10 hit from the Judas record, King, The Stir from Atlanta, The Dave Spivak Project from Calgary, The Cherry Bombs, The Darlings of Rock and Roll, Shoot to Thrill, The World's Best
female AC/DC cover band, Blizzard of Ozzy, World's Best Ozzy Osbourne cover band, James Ellsworth will be there, Pat Patterson, karaoke nights. How do you think that? Pat Patterson is a karaoke master. He will be singing karaoke, running his own karaoke show for you guys every single night of the cruise. And of course, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor tournament aboard the ship. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean on the ship itself. And the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship shot in the future. Kenny Omega will appear. Young Bucks will be in the tournament. Villain Marty Scurll, Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Frankie Kazarian, Adam Page, Chris Daniels, Jay Lethal, Cheeseburger, Mandy Leon, Matt Taven, Flip Gordon, Delirious, Kenny King, Brandi Rhodes, Kelly Klein, Cody Rhodes is going to be there. Flip Gordon, Beer City Bruiser, The Dogs, Silas Young, Matt Taven. I already said Matt Taven. So many people, and there's still another name or two to add as we get ready to wrap up this lineup. But to be honest with you, I mean, come on, guys. If that's not enough to get you on this boat, come on. Get off. Come on, make it happen, man. It's going to be make history on the very first ever Chris Jericho Rockin' Wrestling Rager at Sea. The Regatta of Wrestling leaving Miami October 27th through the 31st, heading to the Bahamas. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Book your cabin now. We are inching closer to a sellout with 6 months left, so don't get left behind. And don't get left behind this Friday. One of my all-time favorite radio hosts and one of the reasons why I do so many paranormal shows here on Talk is Jericho. Art Bell passed away. I got Dave Schrader from Beyond the Darkness. I got Brian Alvarez from Wrestling Observer Radio. Both huge Art Bell fans. It's called The Dark Matter and Mystery of the Late Great Art Bell. You're not going to want to miss this one if you like my paranormal shows, which I know you do. So we'll see you on Friday. In the meantime, in the between time, stay hungry, stay hard, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. See you on Friday.